Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience.
Did you know that the Swedish food retail market is quite big? It is about 27 billion euro. But the catch is that 90% of the market is dominated by just three players. So to be on the market, it is not enough to have a good product. What you need is the insider's roadmap. And my guest today has the expertise to help us with this question. Jenny Köper is the CEO of Food Collective, and she has significant experience in helping Swedish and international food companies succeed in Sweden. Hi, Jenny, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Jenny, your background is amazing. So you have been on both sides of the food industry. You've managed categories for major retailers like ICA and Coop Sverige, and now you help suppliers to enter the market. Could you share some of your background with our listeners?
Very good. So I have worked in different commercial roles in the food industry for now more than 35 years. And held positions like brand manager, marketing manager, buyer, and commercial manager, and category manager also. And now, since 2019, I am CEO of Food Collective. And we are a consultancy agency supporting companies with business development, both Swedish partners, but also international companies.
From what I have read, the Swedish food retail market makes something like 27 billion euro and is dominated by three main players, so it is quite concentrated. Could you give us the general picture of the market?
But that's true. The dominant player is ICA.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 50% of the market share. And the business model is franchisees. So each ICA store is independent.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Coop and Axfood. They have also, Axfood has 30% of the market, about slightly less, and Coop. And there you have both franchisees, but also centrally managed stores with a chain. Chain management. So you, if you get listing in one store, you get automatically access to 100 or 400 stores.
Mm-hmm.
And it is correct that it is highly concentrated. You have three players to approach, and this makes it very attractive for many international companies, believing that once you get a listing at ICA, you automatically get access to 50% of the market. And what it actually means is that the doors are open to 50% of the market if you get a listing, but you still need to do the work with sell in to the stores. And that's also something I see. And I should also mention that Lidl is present in Sweden, but with a very limited market share.
And what about the online market? Is there a niche in this direction?
And it is small and growing, and it increased during the pandemic, but now it is going down again. And we have a few bigger players. One is owned by Axfood, and in joint venture with a Norwegian company, Oda. So that is the biggest one, but still the volumes are not enough to make a sustainable business in Sweden if you target the online retailer. And then you also have some niche players in online. And also there, the volumes are really limited. And it is difficult to approach an online retailer from abroad and expect the volumes to be big enough for the business, because they rarely take more than one pallet at a time.
And what is the general situation on the market? I am now interviewing Swedes in my internal project, and they are telling me that after the Russian invasion to Ukraine, they are feeling that with their wallets. Yeah. So despite the fact that the general inflation rate is not so high, the prices in supermarkets are up to something like 30%. Could you tell some information about the market and how it feels right now?
Yeah, and we had that right after the war, and we have had the peaks of high inflation and high caused by high price increases. And it's not only because of the goods itself, it's because cost for energy and electricity increased due to the war. And this has now stabilized about it. And from next year, we are also decreasing our VAT. And it is for a trial period to manage this the prices. And it is we have an economic recession in Sweden at the moment. So if you have price has become even more important sales argument than before.
Yeah, I'm asking that because mostly, for example, my clients or in general the exporters, they treat Scandinavian markets and Sweden in particular as markets with high margins and high prices, and they target their premium products towards these markets. And with this situation with recession, I believe the situation is not like that anymore. Could you give your perspective on that? How this influences the purchasing power of consumers?
Yeah, so if we take food spends on disposable income, it is still the same amount, but salaries has not increased in the same speed as prices for food. And when it comes to price level, I meet companies that often believe that they can get rich when they. And now I say rich, but it is it's easy to export to Sweden because our price levels are higher. But the price levels are not higher because we have more money. The price levels are higher because it costs more to sell products in Sweden. Because first you need to transport it from the importing country to the Swedish market. And then in our big country, we have 11 million people, 3,000 stores, and the cost for handling and transportation is quite high when you divide it into the stores. So it's not because of high margin, it is because of high costs to distribute the products to the shelves.
Uh-huh. So the B2B market is also price sensitive to this situation.
Yes, we are price sensitive, but to a high price level.
Okay, so let's dive a bit deeper. Having this situation with market concentration, with these three dominant players, most probably they behave like from the more powerful position by selecting the suppliers, and it is quite not easy. Let's call it not easy to get on the shelves of these supermarkets. So to be more practical, let's imagine a small Ukrainian candy producer, for example, a family business that has selected Sweden as their target market, analyzed that market, analyzed the rules of the game and market potential, and understood that their product has potential demand from the consumers on the market, and now they would like to enter the market. What kind of a roadmap? What are the major steps that you would suggest them to make in order to achieve their goal and be present on the shelves of these supermarket chains?
Yeah. So if they are confident about the business and they have a sustainable business case, they trust and see it's worth the risk entering the Swedish market, one route could be to approach the Swedish retailers directly. But they rarely import themselves. They normally work with a partner. So the best would be to approach one of the importers or distributors in Sweden to get a partner. And, now for Ukrainian we have Ukrainian companies have a higher level of attention from all the retailers. So it is also in parallel. It could be good to also approach the retailers with your proposal.
Uh-huh.
But still, it must be a positive business also for the retailers. And even though we have the attention now from the buyers because of the situation in Ukraine, it still has to be a good business. So no one, don't expect anyone to buy the products to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And before you approach a retailer, you should know that, have an understanding of the category and what they are looking for. So the first step is to identify a gap in the market. And once you have a gap in the market, see that you can match the consumer price and calculate backwards.
Okay, so let's come back to the roadmap. So the first step is to analyze the market, identify potential customers, so the players in the market, understand their needs and pains. But then, as you said, also to be able to predict the gaps on the market, so to communicate that to these players. And then you also need to understand that the distributor has the same task as for retailer. Yeah, so they also need to understand the retailer's pains and needs, and also being able to predict the gaps in the market. And then the retailer needs to understand the needs and gaps for the consumer. So in fact, you are transferring value via distributor over to retailer and then to the end consumer.
Yeah.
And as we discussed with retailers, it is quite easy to find them, as there are only three of them
yeah.
in the market. What is the situation with distributors? Is it also concentrated, or the situation is different? Could you give us the brief overview of that type of player?
You have a few. The biggest one are Menigo, Marte Servera, and Svensk Cater. So together they have 80% of the market. In parallel, you have maybe 50 or 60 distributors specialized, you know, in certain products. So you could have a meat supplier; they are only doing meat, and one could only do spices, and some are doing. So they can have some are doing only vegetables, maybe.
And what do you think, is it worthwhile, especially if you are not a big company and you are just entering the market and this is the very first step of yours, is it worthwhile to contact the smaller distributor, not the big one at once?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's also about timing. If you're working with a bigger distributor for restaurants, it takes time. Everything takes time in Sweden, and it's not because we're not working, it is because we love plans in that. But then, you know, it is easier to get access to the market with a smaller distributor, and also a different kind of relationship. And just because you don't have a big distributor or a big wholesaler doesn't mean the volumes become big. So the volumes can become bigger with a smaller niche distributor, because they are the winner in their niche more than a general distributor.
Yeah, and one more idea how to enter the market is to start to work with smaller shops directly, bypassing distributors. It might be easier to contact them, so they are more open to collaborate. But then not to have them as the market coverage, but to have them as a platform to test your product with the real clients, and then get information about your packaging, about the delivery problems, and understand how to work with this market. Gather this data and come back to the big players and show them that you already tested how your product is perceived at the market, and this will help you to open the doors with big players much more easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to come back to your past experience working as a category manager, so on the other side of the market. When I'm talking to my clients or other exporters, they always complain that they are trying to reach the decision maker, the buyer or category manager, and they have no answer. But at the same time, I know that talking with distributors and buyers, they say that they get thousands of emails daily. So that's an overwhelming flow of information, because we are now living in a global world, which means with the help of internet and this easy entry point, anybody can find the contact and send the proposal to a potential client. So they get emails from all over the world. So you, as a supplier, you compete with Chinese suppliers, with Indian suppliers, with European suppliers, and this is very hard to be noticed. Could you share your experience and give an advice how to behave to reach the decision maker, how to be seen or heard, how to differentiate your approach to be successful and effective?
So first, please have some understanding for the category managers. It's a very stressful position, just like what you are saying. Many people reach out to them when they are sitting on that chair. And also what they find very stressful is this, when suppliers are just reaching out and hope for the best without a proper prepared proposal or a customer presentation that is not made properly. So as a supplier, first, understand the needs of the customer and what they are looking for. And again, they want a safe product, and that is delivering the margin to them, the business in the shelf. So if you are well prepared with a good proposal, then it is still worth approaching the buyers in that. And maybe it's good to, if you contact or work with someone you know that is well known in the market, it is easier. And also not only to communicate or to reach out, but also how to do it. Find someone that is supporting you is my strong recommendation.
Okay, so one of the approaches is to find local expert that will use his or her network to connect you to the right potential client. But if you are doing that on your own, what channels or approaches would you recommend?
Yeah, so nothing beats a personal meeting. And each retailer, they have a really service-minded switchboard. So you can call them also. That's working. So then you can contact them over the phone, or you email, or and LinkedIn. But LinkedIn is normally, I don't know if it is, I haven't done it to buyers directly, but maybe to partners for LinkedIn, but not with a direct proposal. Then I do it through email or phone.
How to differentiate yourself by doing that? How to be heard and noticed?
Now, often I know them, so then it's easier. But before you break that ice, I think you need to be a little bit creative and stubborn, because it is right, with all these emails, it is difficult. So, and that's also one of the reasons why I suggest you work with a Swedish partner.
Interesting that you said about stubbornness, because when I'm reading about Swedish business culture and negotiation culture, everybody writes that you should not be pushy to Swedes. So the Swedes do not like this arrogant, to some extent, approach, and being annoying and repetitive and not giving up to get the answer by sending mail after mail. Maybe there should be some balance with this stubbornness. Could you elaborate a bit more about that?
Very good comment, because no one likes pushy people here. So that's why I say, so maybe the right phrase is to say stubborn with some sophistication, because you don't want to receive the same email 100 times. So that won't help you.
Because in my experience, and I'm working with Swedish customers for many years already, I think I'm just now trying to recall, and I think that almost all sales to Swedish customers were done via network, via recommendation, and none via cold call or cold email. And now I am thinking if it's at all possible to do that in a cold way, so not having this network in Sweden.
Yeah, well, it's a good reflection. And I made a similar reflection when I founded the company, Food Collective. The first 4 years in the history of the company, our clients and assignments only came through my network. We had got no one without that I hadn't worked with before. So that, and that is a quite long time in, you know, and now the company we are 6 years. So, but still, it is most of what we do, we get through connections.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I'm just thinking about the trade shows again, coming back to that. Is it worthwhile at all to participate in trade shows, trying to sell to Swedish clients without having this network and getting contract at the trade show?
Not a contract, but you can have a first initial meeting in a trade show and know whom you're approaching and start the dialogue. Because if you have a product and you meet the buyer, maybe it's they already have the product, but next time they are exchanging or replacing a supplier, then maybe you will be top of mind.
So, in fact, this is about the brand awareness. By participating in the trade show, you are creating trust in you as a person, in your company as a partner, in your product. And then, in fact, you are creating this network that you will use afterwards to sell to Swedish customers.
Yeah, that's correct. Because then you can have an initial meeting at the trade show and then follow up after the show with another meeting. And then also keep in mind the processes are very long in Sweden. So it rarely takes less than in a year from first contact to first order.
Are there any dates or periods when distributors or retailers are looking for suppliers systematically, like, for example, in autumn or spring, or it is all over the year when you can contact them effectively?
Around the year, but also buyers are most busy September, October. So it's better to approach them other times of the year than September, October.
So many more questions to ask, but I see that the time flies by already so quickly. So we need to wrap up, but maybe a couple of more questions, and the first one is about the sustainability. How important it is for Sweden. I know about the traceability, so we need to be able to trace the product to the origin, including the raw materials and how it was produced. The Green Deal, in Europe is also important issue. Mm-hmm. But what I see in Ukrainian suppliers, they do not pay attention to that so much. Even having processes, sustainable processes, or corporate social responsibility within the company, they do not understand or they do not perceive the need to communicate this value to their potential customers in European Union or in Sweden. But I know that this is important to Swedish clients. What is your opinion on that? Should they pay attention to that or not?
Yeah. All retailers, they have targets for sustainability and the greenhouse emissions, how much products are allowed to consume. And for private label, they are actively looking for if you have a product and they are changing to another supplier, they are one of the variables they are comparing is how sustainable the company is. And this comes to you know, how they use energy and transportation and production. So it is very important. And if you not yet have started to implement it in your production, it is a good recommendation to do so.
Good. So maybe the final question. You have worked a lot with Swedish companies trying to go out and sell abroad. And then you also worked with international companies willing to go to Sweden. Having that, can you summarize like main three mistakes they all do by approaching potential clients and trying to reach them?
The first one is that they think it's easy. And it's not. So you need, and success doesn't come by luck. You need to work for it with a plan. And also, before you approach any partner in Sweden, distributor, importer, or retailer, do the homework to understand what value proposition, so you understand what you are contributing with to your partner. Because the partners, they have, you know, they have a need, and they all always want to improve. So understand how you can support your partner's goals and their business wishes, where they are striving. So I think that is the most important part to understand. And also, in part of the one part of the preparation is also to understand the pricing and the margins. And the partner you're working with, they also need a margin. And if you cannot provide a margin to the partner, they will most likely not prefer working with you. So that is one thing. And the third thing is that it takes time. It takes much longer than what you hope for. So plan for a longer horizon.
By the way, what is the usual margin that a retail chain expects to have working with supplier?
Yeah, and that's now you simplify something that is quite complex. Because when it comes to margin, part of it is the distributor. And then when you deliver, even when you're delivering centrally, to any of the retailers, you also have a margin for covering logistics and handling, and then you have the store margin. So you need to add the headquarters margin and the stores. And then if you take roughly, you know, average in the store, you should calculate for in total 40%, 10% of headquarters, 30% in the store. But this varies between the categories. And again, that's why it's so important you do your research. And do the research before you approach any partner.
Right. So you roughly need to multiply your Ex Works price by 2 to be successful.
Yeah, that's a rule of thumb in most markets.
Okay, so to summarize what we have said, so when you are a supplier to Swedish market, and I think not only to Swedish market, you need to think not in terms or not only in terms of your product or your company, but you need to develop the empathy and emphasize to the other side, and in this case, not only the consumer, so the final consumer of your mm-hmm. product. Because mostly what I see companies when they go abroad, they still think in terms of what they have done in the local market, selling directly to the consumer. But in this case, you need to think about two more partners, at least two more partners in between, in this supply chain, the distributor and the retailer, and understand that they have definitely different pains and needs than your consumer, because your consumer is more about your product, and these two partners is more about you as a reliable partner. And taking into account these different needs, you need to position yourself differently. And as you said, you need to have this really ability, adaptability, flexibility to succeed in Swedish market. And of course, including this situation that your partners should earn with you more than without you. So you need to calculate this financial model to deliver this value to your potential partners. Jenny, thank you so much. It was really, really insightful. I think that I have not asked even 5% of all your expertise that you have as for the Swedish market and also as for other markets in terms of food retail. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time for that now, but I hope that we can come back to that later. So thank you for sharing your experience and your time with us.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.